Thank you for joining us, for bringing us into your home, and for those who are listening to us on our network, we're delighted that you could join us as well. My name is Foster Brown, and Ed Riddell is with me in studio here, my sidekick for today. Well, coming up in February, some important decisions are going to be made at the FCC about rules that will control the way that information is shared and controlled over the internet. How content is dealt with there as well. It is a terribly thorny issue, and we have asked Craig Aaron to be with us. He is the CEO and president of FreePress.net, and the reason we've invited him to be on is because this organization, I think, first of all, it's not a partisan organization, not a political arm of or an arm of some party or interest group, other than your interest group and mine, the public's. And they have done a marvelous job over the last decade of sorting out these things. So I want you to treat freepress.net, which you can get to off of our homepage, internetadvisor.net. There's a link there. Click on that. It'll take you straight to their site there, and you're going to find all sorts of resources, including an article that Craig just published called "Don't Let Congress and Comcast Derail Real Net Neutrality." And the reason I want to point you back there, and Craig, thank you so much for being on with us again today. We appreciate you being here on the Internet Advisor. You guys have just gotten a tremendous amount of resources together. As you may have heard, Craig, in about 7 minutes, did a marathon of explaining where we've been and how we got here. And, of course, there are a lot of twists and turns in this. But the bottom line, Craig, is that we have the possibility, and you said this at the outset, you feel now, after all of these years of struggling over this thing, that we are possibly on the cusp of making some real progress towards a net neutrality, which will mean, I believe, it sounds like, that there will be some way of controlling a freer flow of information over the internet, and that content won't be messed with in the meantime. Am I being simplistic with this?
But no, I think you're pretty close. It's essentially insurance against that happening. It's
yes.
The difference between the free and open internet we know and love, where anybody with a good idea, a new business idea, something important to say, can find an audience and compete with the biggest companies out there, and an internet that's turned into something that looks like cable television, where somebody else picks and chooses the channels for you, decides what works, starts having tiered pricing, starts creating fast lanes for certain things and slow lanes for the rest of us. That's never been the way the internet's worked. We want to make sure that it keeps working. Net neutrality is a key to doing that. In fact, it's really the key principle that helps create that amazing internet that we have today.
Right, exactly. It's been kind of the Wild West here, Eddie, all along, and this is kind of the civilization of that Wild West.
Well, and there's just so much innovation out there. I mean, who would have thought that a company like Netflix would which we thought they have won a number of battles, but those have been reversed or could be reversed in the near future if this does not go forward.
I don't know we ever imagined, Craig, that we would be consuming
So much
over the internet, and it's just growing exponentially.
Yes.
Well, and that's really what we need to be thinking about, and why we need, you know, just some baseline rules of the road, some basic authority, because we don't know what the next great thing is going to be. And if we had locked in the internet 5 or 10 years ago, you know, we never would have seen YouTube. We never would have seen Netflix. We never would have seen these things that we take for granted now. And I happen to be a believer that there's somebody out there in a garage right now or a dorm room somewhere dreaming up some new thing that's going to be indispensable to me 5 years from now.
Exactly.
But I don't know that I actually need it now. So that's why we need rules, but flexible rules.
It was interesting, Craig, in a news item that was just reported at the start of our program, somebody tinkering at the University of Michigan has discovered a way of using a video camera that's used in video games in place of lasers in some of these car control systems.
Well, yeah, but basically, so in replacing the high expensive lasers in the automobiles and using video cameras and software that is used in games to detect, cars in your left, right, behind you, or forward.
And the other day, I was out at IKEA buying a lamp, and suddenly they are literally clearing their shelves right now to bring in the LED lights. And think of the technology that's come along. As you said, somebody tinkering in their garage, somebody in a lab somewhere is doing something that could impact this whole thing incredibly. And I'm just kind of waiting for that next thing to burst out.
Yeah. So is there, you know, one of the things I read in that article that you said was the wording of Please help me here, Craig. Is you know, Comcast and companies like Verizon have put forth a document that they would like to see pushed forward, but basically it's a Trojan horse. It sounds like it's net neutrality, but under the covers, it's really going to, you know, give them carte blanche.
Yeah, it's not neutrality.
Right? Yes.
That's exactly what's happening. This debate has come so far that suddenly people who historically have been opposed to net neutrality and you know, saying there was no need for it, have suddenly, you know, discovered after a few million people spoke up, well, maybe they're for it after all. But, yeah. You know, as always, in any of these things, legislation, regulations, you know, unfortunately, the devil's in the details, and that's where the problems get created. And so there's some good language in this bill that's probably going to be introduced very soon in Congress, as soon as next week. But there's also a lot missing from it. And really the problem with it is it locks down a very narrow set of protections, but actually strips the regulatory agency of the kind of authority it needs to deal with emerging problems.
Yes.
So it essentially locks us in that same way to exactly what we have right now.
Craig,
and that's not good for innovation.
How important is it that President Obama spoke out on this? Now, the FCC
hugely
is...
hugely important.
Yeah,
the leader of the free world paying attention to telecommunications and technology policy makes a really big difference. And, you know, President Obama was actually an early person speaking out on this issue back when he was running for office.
Yes.
But then he kind of disappeared for about 6 years on the issue, didn't say much of anything, but he's come in very clearly in the past few weeks, made these internet issues a big priority in his last 2 years, and frankly, it's turned the debate on its head.
Well, and he benefited during his campaigns from the internet, from Twitter campaigns and so many other things. So it's always been kind of strange to me that he has been very quiet until recently on this. So I guess we can look for that. Now, again, folks, we're not going to try to delve into all the details here. But again, hands off to Craig, and to the whole freepress.net site, because there's a wealth of stuff there, folks. Please delve into it in order to be able to inform yourself on what's going on. There's a lot at stake here. I mean, this very program and what we've done for 17 years now is in many ways is going to be impacted by what's happening in the FCC. One thing I want you to talk about is what looks like the coming together of monopolies with things like Comcast gobbling up Time Warner.
Yeah, this is the real story in some ways, is the concentration of power over the future of the internet and the real danger of having gatekeepers. And you've got a big company in Comcast that wants to merge with Time Warner Cable. If it does, they'll be the, you know, they're already the biggest cable company in the country, already the biggest internet service provider. But if they can get this deal done, they'll actually control essentially two-thirds of the high-speed connections throughout the entire country, or more than 60% of the cable service, which is a lot of power in the hands of one company. And look, they're also a movie studio. They're also a news organization. They have content that they want to push and prefer.
And
you know, they want you to have to go through them to get what you want.
And they're beholden. That's the problem. They're beholden to their stockholders, not to the American public.
Right,
period.
Exactly. And they should do things to advance their stockholders.
Absolutely.
That's why we need
a
counterweight of smart public policy.
Because absolutely.
Often what's in the best in narrow short-term interest of a given company is not in the broader public interest. And look, these guys are going to make plenty of money. They're making a lot of money, 80-90% profit margins on that cable modem.
Good Lord.
You pay them for every month. But the problem is we don't want them being able to dictate what's going to work on the web, where innovation is going to come from. And
right.
We don't want these innovators out there to have to go get permission from a Comcast or an AT&T or a Verizon before they can develop the next big.
They become enormously.
What we actually want is that even playing field for everybody.
Yeah, they become enormously powerful in our culture, Ed. You know, in terms of what we see, what we know about what's going on, and how we communicate with one another. It's just extraordinarily powerful, Craig. And you've been at this for quite a while, right? Not just the.
At least a decade.
Yeah. Is there a bit of time when you just want to throw your hands up and say, the heck with this? This is just too hairy, too complicated. I am one tiny little David against a whole lot of Goliaths.
Yeah, well, no question about it. Sometimes it gets pretty frustrating. You know, anytime you're dealing with politics and politicians making these kind of crucial decisions, it can get pretty frustrating. But, you know, that's sort of how it's designed, because they hope you won't keep showing up. So, you know, I always remind myself that, look, David wins sometimes. he beat Goliath. He found that slingshot. You know, we have the opportunity. And when people actually get involved, when they actually pay attention, their politicians, their elected leaders will respond, and we can create better, smarter policies that are going to give us more of what we want lower prices, yep. faster speeds, and the kind of new innovations that everybody benefits from, and in turn, create a stronger economy, create a more vibrant democracy. That's what the internet has done already. I think it can be even greater, and that's what keeps me in there, even when it means going through the footnotes of some FCC order or looking at that army of lobbyists sort of arrayed against what I'm
saying. Oh, dear. Craig, I want to thank you for your noble work over these years. Freepress.net is the site, Craig. Thank you so much. Craig Aaron, the president and CEO of Freepress.net. Good luck to
Thanks
you.
Luck,
we'll check in with you this next month as well as the rulings come down. Thanks so much, Craig.
Look forward to it.
All right. That is a very thorny subject, but you can help untangle yourself by going to our website and checking out freepress.net.